أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولى العظيم. A few things with regard to pride that were left out. One is the definition of pride in the hadith, بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. That is, when a person has got pride, بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ, that he does not accept the truth. When somebody tells him, his pride does not allow him to accept. Somebody points out a mistake of yours, and you are not prepared to accept it. That is, a person has got pride. And غَمْتُ النَّاسِ, he does not fulfill the rights of people. The people who have got rights over him, he feels he's too big. How can I fulfill the rights of other people? It is with regard to people, but to understand it, on one occasion, one person, a postmaster general, was having meals with Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. When, as usual, when eating, some of the crumbs, etc., fall out of the plate. So Maulana, Hazrat Maulana told him, pick it up and eat it. So he said, this is beyond me. This is that pride. It is the right of those crumbs that they must be lifted up and a person must eat them. If a person is not prepared to, there is a sign that the person has got pride in him. However, Maulana, in a very beautiful way, and that is a special quality of the awliya, that how a muslih, a sheikh, how he makes tarbiyat. Maulana asked him that if the Minister of Post and Telegraphs, who is a person who sits with the President, with the Prime Minister, a very top position, if he sends you a chocolate and a piece of it falls down, will you pick it up and eat? He said, definitely. When the Minister of Post and Telegraph sent for me, and in fact he won't only eat the piece of chocolate that falls, but the wrapper of the chocolate, that also he'll keep. And he'll keep it to show his, not only his children, his progeny, that see what a position this person had, that the Minister of Post and Telegraph sent him a chocolate. So he said that you make qadr, you appreciate what the Minister of Post and Telegraph sends for you. But he, Allah Rabbul Izzat, who is the Lord of the entire universe, this rosy has been sent to you from him. Then he understood. And then he said, now I'll definitely pick it up. And now I can appreciate it. So if a person understands reality also, man arafa nafsa, the saying goes both ways, man arafa rabbahu faqad arafa nafsa. A person who has recognized Allah will recognize himself, that he is absolutely nothing. Until a person hasn't recognized Allah, he won't recognize himself. And man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbah. That also is true. A person who has understood, may God ma'rifat of his nafs, that what am I after all? What is my position? I am nothing. That person will recognize Allah and realize that Allah Ta'ala is everything. Hazrat Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi has written, At-takabbur ma'al mutakabbirin tawadu'an. Takabbur, what to people who are proud, that is tawadu, to exercise takabbur there, outwardly. In your heart there isn't anything. But people who are proud, who are haughty, arrogant, people who have that attitude, like for example, a Mauli sahib in a town, the Imam sahib, and all other wealthy, arrogant people, with them display an attitude of arrogance, not actual arrogance. Because if you don't, they'll crush you. Wuron dalinge. They'll think, what is this Mauli sahib? He is nothing. What is the Sufi sahib? This is like mostly with the poor muazzins. Who is this muazzin? There a person must show outwardly. And this is like our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, that certain places tawadu is haram. Like if Pakistan is fighting a war against India, and the Pakistani soldier comes on the border, is facing the Indian army soldier, and he tells him that main kuch nahi, main to haqir, faqir, Abdul Qadir, nalaik, nachiz, aaya hoon. that I'm nothing. Yeah, I came. I've got commands to fight against you, but I'm nothing. I'm so weak. I'm so useless. I'm nothing. That tawadu is totally haram at that place. At that place in the hadith, to remove one's mustaj is the best. But at the time of jihad, to put fear, rob into the enemy, there to keep a big mustaj and quite big, and you turn it also and to even put more fear, there it is not only permissible, it is required that you do, that you make your appearance also like that, when you have to face the enemy. So that should be the case. So the right place, the tawadu, is correct. But unfortunately, our nature, like many people of the subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, etc., when they go to America, UK, Europe, they feel they've got not the green card, they got Jannat certificate. And there they're doing very menial work. They're washing dishes, they're sweeping out, but their names are given big names there. So they're doing that menial, and there they're so humble. But when they come back to India, then the way they carry on, yeah, so much of pride. So, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَمَا وَدَّ believers, who are genuine believers, a believer and a person who isn't arrogant, etc., and with them, complete humility, humbleness. أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, and on the non-believers, they show your authority. But today it is completely opposite. A person, for example, also is busy in his shop, in his work. If his wife has to phone for some work, must bring some potatoes home today when you come. He gets so angry. I must carry potatoes. And first of all, he'll speak to him very rudely. And that you don't say, I'm so busy, you're phoning this time, and I must bring potatoes and that. But if another auntie phones, and then you see his voice so soft and so humble, and he says, whatever you need, you just say, I'm just a phone call away, and I'll bring it when I come home tonight, I'll bring it to you now. And so to getting our priorities in order is extremely important. Also, Hadrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he was very strict. And many people who don't understand should say he's got pride. Many people with regard to our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adamullah Fuyudham, they say he's very proud. He's got too much of pride. When we don't understand, yeah, it's a very important matter to understand, make a very fine line of distinction that between authority and pride. And Ustad in the class, he has to exercise his authority. If he doesn't, those children, why are they going to run a mock in that class? They'll come and sit on his head. What won't they do? And especially if you've got toddlers, and how they carry on. If you don't exercise any authority in front of them, they'll take you. That person, usually a woman teaching small children, they go mad. That the way the children will treat them. So, their authority. The same way parents with their children. If they don't show authority, what will happen in that house? Authority has to be shown. Similarly, a sheikh with his murids, their authority has to be shown. So, like for example, one alim who visited us here, when he went and studied in Saharanpur at the beginning, Hadrat Maulana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, was there at that time, and Maulana Asadullah Sahib was virtually in charge of the madrasa. He was the Nazim Sahib. And while we had there, just a few incidents of Maulana Asadullah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, one of his poems is that, Na dekho in surkh rukhoku din nahar, parho rabbana qina adab an-nar. Don't look at those red cheeks ever. Don't ever look at those red cheeks, other women's red cheeks, admiring them. Parho Rabbana qina adab an-nar. If your eyes happen to fall on those cheeks, read, O Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. This is such a beautiful, perfect poem as far as poetry and literature also is concerned, and the subject also. As far as the subject is concerned, those red cheeks, that they appear so nice, so beautiful, red. But what did he compare it to? At the fire of Jahannam. The fire of Jahannam, the flames that are red. So don't think it's red cheeks, it's the red fire of Jahannam. To understand it more clearly, the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those people who devour oppressively, in a wrong way, the wealth of the yatim, actually they are eating the fire of Jahannam. Though it looks like wonderful biryani, and it looks like wonderful samosas, but actually it is the fire of Jahannam they are putting in their stomachs. So those red cheeks, they are not the red cheeks, they are the fire of Jahannam. This also, just this one poem will help a person to save his gazes, not to look at strange woman. That what I'm looking at, I'm actually feeling fire of Jahannam in my eyes. As it comes in a hadith sharif, when a person looks at a strange woman, haram things, then fire will be put into his eyes. So that is what a person is actually doing. Another poem of Maulana Asadullah Sahib. See if I get the words, but the meaning of it more or less is that when in this haram, dhoonte ho, dozakh mein dhoonte ho jannat ke khab gahe. That's the second part of the poem. That you are enjoying looking at the strange woman. You are looking for fun and pleasure and enjoyment looking at other women. What are you looking in the fire of Jahannam for the comforts and luxuries of Jannat? When you are looking at other strange women, this is Jahannam for you. And in this Jahannam, you are thinking you are enjoying, you are looking in Jahannam for the comforts and pleasure of Jannat. How can that be? It's impossible to find the enjoyments of Jannat in Jahannam. So when you are looking at other strange women, then that is totally haram. And in this haram, you are looking for pleasure and enjoyment. How can you ever find it? You can't find it. So yeah, authority is one thing and pride is another thing. So about Maulana Asadullah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, this alim who came, he went to study there. So Maulana asked him what kitabs you studied so that to give him which class he should be put into. So then he tested him in that kitab. On that then, he made some error mistakes, so he corrected him. So he says, now that I've corrected you, I've become your teacher now. Now for a ustad to take khidmat from a student is jais. Now I can take khidmat from you. Up to now, I could not take khidmat from you. So from your student, you can take khidmat. From your murid, you can take khidmat. And where it is necessary, you must take. Otherwise, you will not be fulfilling your position of your being an ustad, because really, from my experience, my personal experience, and how our Shaykh Damat Barakatum treats us, I've come to see that what a person gets is from khidmat. Not from mujahada, not from ibadat, but from khidmat. The nafs breaks only with khidmat. I've seen our Shaykh several times. When Hazrat is lying down, others are making his khidmat, but Hazrat will particularly tell me, come, call him, tell him to come and press. And our pressing is like a fly sitting on the bull's horn. The bull hardly knows about it. When Hazrat actually, when he wants to sleep, then he sends us all away. And those who actually press his body very hard, that is, then he feels that he's been pressed. And just like this, but by pressing, your nafs breaks, that you are making khidmat of somebody, putting the shoes straight, etc. The nafs breaks by making khidmat. But in there also pride can come. Like a person claims, I'm khadim e khas. Now he has become, pride has come, that I'm the main khadim. So just like ibadat is to bring abdiyat, khidmat is to break the nafs. But a person must be careful that even this can bring pride in a person. So it must be done, and if humility, humbleness is coming, then that is correct. A person won't just be humble with everyone else, but by the Shaykh, and the Shaykh has got the right to take such work and to give such work to the murid in order to break his nafs. Then his nafs will break. like Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, it reached what a high spiritual position also in dunya also. Allah gave him so much respect and honor. When he went and visit his Shaykh, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, then Hazrat hardly put a dastarkhan for him. He just puts on the roti, he put some tarkari dar. And how you give a beggar, he gave it to him, say, yeah, take and eat. And then he watched his face to see whether any difference comes on his face. That me, I'm such a great Shaykh today, and this is how I'm being treated. No, there was nothing like that. And what I get from my Shaykh's door, whatever it is a great thing. So this is also very important to make this distinction. As a person is an ustad, he's a Shaykh, he's the father, to exercise your authority is faraz. And there, for example, if your children, they didn't tell you Jazakallah for something, then force them, remind them, tell them you must say Jazakallah. If you don't do that, you don't do this tarbiyat, then you are destroying them. Otherwise, for somebody else, now to claim the Jazakallah, if you haven't got that authority, then that is like now you wanting recompense for what you did, etc. But for your children, your students, your murids, to teach them is absolutely necessary. And that is when they benefit. And that is when they understand. They make any mistake. Like, for example, also with regard to our elders, like in English also, don't call them you. Respect is very necessary. Don't just tell them, you told me this, you told me that. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali repeatedly quotes, Muhabbat khud sikhayenge tujhe adab-e muhabbat. When you have genuine love, that love will teach you the etiquette of love. How you should, now you won't just take that person's name like that. And you won't just address him as you. You will say, like for example, Maulana told this. You know, you're speaking to Maulana, but you won't say you told this. So this is also very, very important. This etiquette also. Anyway, this humbleness to understand it. One imam, he has passed away. He was an imam in a town where there were quite a few very wealthy people, arrogant people. And when he used to sit after Asr, when you turn around after Fajr, then he would sit actually like with his hand like this, facing them like this. So that is the right thing at that time to do. For that Maulana, for that imam to show humbleness, they will crush him, they will finish him up. Therefore, such people, you have to show your pride. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali used to reprimand his murids quite severely also. But then he says, then I go and I cry to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, you made me their Shaykh, and it's my duty to make that tarbiyat. If I don't do that tarbiyat, then I faulted. I haven't fulfilled my duty. But oh Allah, forgive me if anything has gone over the limit and it's gone into the area of pride. If I've done something wrong and I've exercised some pride in this, for fulfilling this duty. And Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, the position of a Shaykh is like the Jallad. The Jallad is the person who executes punishment in the court of the king. If anyone has done wrong, then he has to punish them. So for example, if the prince, a young boy still, he has done something wrong, and the king tells the Jallad, the person who has to give punishment, now it's the king's son, it's the prince, that give him 10 lashes. Now what a difficult job. On the one side, he has to do his duty, but he mustn't overdo it. Even must not give the lashes too hard also. So between the two, a very fine line, where one side you have to exercise what your responsibility is, fulfill that responsibility. The husband has got authority over the wife. If he doesn't exercise it, what will happen? One of our friends went to America in Jamaat, and the woman there, in one discussion, the woman, they are quite open there and bold, they said that we want a husband to be a man, not a mouse. If the husband doesn't exercise his authority, he's like a mouse. And if we boss him around, then what husband is that? He's not even a husband. But on the end, also if the husband doesn't, if he's not a man, if he's a mouse, we even feel threatened. If any enemy comes, crook, somebody comes, he won't even protect us. He'll go and hide under the bed. The way is he going to protect us? So to exercise the authority is required. But we must be careful we don't go in the domain of pride, that we don't have pride in us. With our children, we must exercise our authority. We can't go and act so humble in front of them, and whatever you do is right, you know more better. What will happen in that house? But on the other side, it must not go into the domain of pride also. So these are also a few important things that came to mind later. Further, we discussed, one is roza of the tongue, roza of the eyes, of the tongue, of the ears, of the other limbs of the body, then the thoughts of a person, in which also is, so this whole discussion about pride comes in there. Together with that also is, whether our amal are accepted or not accepted. That also we had discussed. That also a person must have this fear. He must not have this pride and naz that what I have done is 100% accepted. Nobody has given him a guarantee. And no matter how perfect he does his ibadah, in fact, not no matter, he does it perfectly. There is no binding law on Allah that I have to accept. If Allah wants to, all your ibadah you have got, you fulfilled every requirement. If Allah Ta'ala is not bound by anyone, otherwise Allah is not Allah. If Allah is bound by anything, then that is not Allah. Allah Ta'ala yaf'alu ma yasha, yaf'alu ma yurid. Allah does what He wants to. So we don't know whether Allah will accept it, so we have got no cause. Even whether one great sheikh, he thought that when Allah will ask him, what have you brought? He'll say that, how can I present namazes? My namazes are weak, my fast, roza, tilawat, everything full of faults. One thing I will present is tawheed. So he presented tawheed. Allah said, asked him what you brought, he said tawheed. So then Allah asked him, have you forgotten the night of the milk? Which referred to a night when he drank milk at night, and in the morning his stomach was paining. And he said, it's because of the milk that I drank. As far as asbab is concerned, you say it in that context, it's quite in order. And for a person of that level of iman, Allah did not like that even outwardly, though it was right outwardly. But even that Allah did not like, that he should have realized fully, fa'ile haqiqi is only Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the sole and only doer. What power has the milk got? So, and nothing and anything has got no power whatsoever. One of our friends asked one question, that one of the Sangomas, he's one of our black brothers, he said that he told him that something that you got saved, you didn't get hurt because of your mother's or father's some prayer or something, and told him he has to go to the grave of his mother, and he doesn't know where she's buried, etc. So these things, many things in the African culture, what their beliefs are all these things which are idol worship, which is shirk, associating power to anyone else besides Allah. Power is only with Allah Ta'ala. Nothing else and nobody else has got any power whatsoever. That complete conviction has to come into a person. We don't have to fear, and this comes then again to superstition. That if the cat is meowing at night, crying, then we all, what we feel, that superstition that in the morning news will come of somebody's funeral. What has the cat's meowing and crying got to do with somebody passing away? Can that have any, has the cat got any power? If a cat runs across the road, then we say we're going to meet up with an accident. So we are associating that the cat has got power of some, of making an accident. So this also, the superstition and this jadu business is gone too much overboard. And those people who are regarded as amils, and now if you just want to get some idea, you don't need any more elaboration also nowadays, just pick up the Lanesia Times and see the adverts, or any of the other tabloids and see the adverts, what and what don't they do? If they were so good, then they shouldn't be in office today. They shouldn't be sitting there and waiting for 50 rand a customer or something. If they can do so much for other people, well, it's about time they did something for themselves also. So all this is a whole big hoax and a whole big farce in which it's not even appropriate to speak here of the things that they are doing. And where good, noble women also are going. It's just because of the weakness of iman, because we don't know tawheed, So anyway, he's told Allah Ta'ala that I brought Tawheed. Allah said, you forgot the night of the milk, that you ascribe power to the milk, that the milk made your stomach sore. So also from here we learn that as a person's iman improves, he shouldn't even ascribe anything to outward causes. And if he does, he should make it clear. As far as sabab is concerned, means are concerned, this is the thing. But actually it's only Allah, Allah alone. And in that you'll be giving great da'wat of iman. Otherwise, many a person from the mimbar gives a great talk of iman. Like for example, many learned people, what a talk of iman they will give. And nowadays forget in our private discussions from the mimbar, we are saying the Jews rule the world. They control the dollar price. So doesn't Allah control the dollar price? As we are hearing in the kitab at night, Maulana Musa Sahib reads, Allah rewards him, that even the price of things in the market, price is going up and down, it's decided by Allah Ta'ala. 15th of Shaban or whichever night it might be, all this is decided at what the dollar price is going to be, whether there'll be a availability of petrol, there won't be availability of petrol, whatever. It is all decided there. So a mu'min must have that yaqeen. As far as sabab is concerned, you can say this, that's because outwardly Allah is going to use somebody, Allah is not going to come himself to bring that about, conditions will come. That is sabab. But we must realize which Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said with regard to the ayats, Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah is sufficient for me. La ilaha illahu, who is there for me besides Allah? Alayhi tawakkaltu, actually it should have been tawakkaltu alayhi. But this is taqneem ta'akhir. Alayhi tawakkaltu, and that gives the benefit of hasr, that I've put my all my trust only on Allah Ta'ala. Wa huwa rabbul arshil azim, and Allah is the Rabb. Allah is the controller of the arsh azim. And arsh azim, then Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah explains in Bayan al-Quran, is majariya qada. That is the place where all decisions are made. Like the parliament in the country, where they make the laws. Where, for example, a panel of judges set on a case, and where they're meeting, they're going to make the decision. So all decisions, whatever take place in the world, is majariya qada, is the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. There qada, where judgment is made. Jari, majari, jari, where judgments are issued. All judgments are made there. That's the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, Man kana nadruhu ila majari al qada. A person whose eyes are fixed at majariya qada, he knows that the judge is not going to make a decision whether I'm going for Hajj this year, my name is going to come or not. It's not here by these agents, it's by Allah Ta'ala. And whether whatever else, I'm going to get this job, I'm not going to get this job. It's not the person interviewing me, it's not that he's going to discuss with the bosses and they're going to decide, it's by Allah Ta'ala. My health is not in the hand of the doctors, not in the hands of the medicines, it is by Allah Ta'ala. So a person who has got his eyes there, in other words, his yaqeen, his heart is connected and he knows everything happens from there. Man kana nadruhu ila majari al-qada, la yufni ayyamahu fi makhasamatin nas. He doesn't waste his days and his time arguing with people. When they haven't got the choice, you go to an office and a messenger boy, He has taken your visa application. Now inside they have refused it. Now you're fighting with the messenger boy. You're wasting your time. What can he do? He's just a messenger boy. He's got no choice. He's not the one who issues the visas. He's got nothing. Now you're fighting with him and you're shouting him and all that. You're wasting your time. So the whole world are all messenger boys. Everything is happening by Allah Ta'ala, by the arsh of Allah. All decisions are made there. So a person who realizes this won't waste his time with people. He'll make rujoo. All his matters, all your, whatever you wanted, you'll turn to Allah Ta'ala. So to understand that, that is very, very important. Where all this started. Don't attribute, but all this from pride.
Fear of acceptance.
Ji?
Fear of acceptance.
جی فیئر آف دا ایکسپٹینس آف آور اعمال جی جزاکم اللہ سو وی ڈونٹ ٹرسٹ آور اعمال آلسو ڈونٹ ٹرسٹ ایون آور ایمان اللہ از ناٹ اٹس ناٹ نیسسری فار اللہ دیٹ وی میڈ آور ایمان دو اللہ از فلی جسٹ بٹ اللہ از ہی دیٹ اف اللہ وانٹس ٹو then Allah doesn't have to accept anything from us. How can pride come? Only when we know if Allah and only by Allah's fazl. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, nobody will gain najat, salvation, but by the mercy of Allah ta'ala. So she asked, not even you, O Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and for the Imam al-Anbiya. What were the amal, the iman, everything of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, not even me, illa yataghammadani rabbi bi rahmati, or kama qal, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Unless Allah ta'ala enshrouds me with his mercy. So when that is the case, it's impossible to even understand, forget oneself, that how can somebody else have pride? How can a person have pride when even Allah's Nabi says, that my salvation also, my najat also, is dependent on Allah's mercy. So how can we say that my amal, I did this, I sacrificed so much, I work so much, my mujahada so much, what is this? Which Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi is written, فَإِنَّ بَعْضَ الْمُغْتَرِّينَ مِنَ السُّوفِيَّةِ, that some even Sufis who are in dhoka, in deception, يَنْسِبُونَ كَمَالَاتِهِمْ إِلَى مُجَادَاتِهِمْ, they attribute their achievement to their mujahada. That we made so much khidmat of our Shaykh, we did this, we made so much ibadat, whole night we stood in ibadat, we made so lot tilawat, then I got something after all this. So there is nothing. There is only two things. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. If it's not the fazl of Allah and the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, Allah says in so clear and emphatic terms, مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا, none of you ever in any way can gain tazkiyah. مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But Allah Ta'ala makes tazkiyah. So yeah, Allah is clearly written that tazkiyah of a person, Allah has declared, is only from Allah Ta'ala. But again, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi is written that Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ أَنْ أَخْرِجْهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَىٰ النُّورِ. We send Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to his people to take them out from zulumat into nur. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala said, and in quite a few other ayats, Allah is the one who takes you out from darkness. Yeah, Allah attributed it to Musa alayhi salam. From this, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi is written, فَإِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لِشَيْخٍ مَدْخَلًا عَظِيمًا, that the Shaykh has, Allah has put, given him a great share as far as sabab is concerned. He is the outward means. A person is born only by the qudrat of Allah, but the means are the parents. Allah doesn't just look for everyone. The Jibreel alayhi salam will come and he'll just blow on a woman and she'll conceive. No, it won't be. Your man, husband and wife will meet. Then the child will be born. So this is a means. But the mukhrij haqiqi, the real being who takes us out, is Allah Ta'ala. But the Shaykh, Allah has given him a great position and an important part, an important role, that he takes the murid out of darkness into light. So we should not trust anything of our own. Everything is only from Allah Ta'ala. So a mu'min, the more his iman becomes stronger, his words also should change. The words of a mu'min, the language of a mu'min must be also a different language. And your language also must be giving da'wah to people, how you speak. If we also speak, for example, how a non-believer speaks, then what is the difference? Our Musa bin Budania, marhum of Rudipwat, he used to deal quite a bit with the government departments, especially in the old government, try and get out work, whatever we could. So I heard him on a few occasions when he speaks to them, Inshallah, Mashallah, is all the time on his tongue. Even when he's talking to this to the non-believers. Now what will they understand? But he also, Mashallah, this work you must do. Inshallah, we're going there. All the time, all these words. So a mu'min, his language must be like that also. Or mu'min, halat, or logo, ahwal se mutaassir nahi hota. A mu'min must not be influenced by conditions, by people. Mu'min halat ko, logo ko mutasir karta hai. He influences people. He must not be influenced. So that is a sign of a person's iman. That, and also a sign of the iman, that inshallah becomes a natural thing on a mu'min's tongue. That he realizes, no matter what asbab I've got the means of everything. But if Allah doesn't wish, it cannot happen. You can have all your things. In there is that famous story that a person was going to buy a horse, was on his way to the market to buy a horse. Some friend asked him, where are you going? So I said, I'm going to buy a horse. So he said, you say inshallah. So he said, what's the need of inshallah? The money is in my pockets, the horses are there. Now what inshallah? That if Allah wishes. The money is there, the horses are there. So he went there, he picked out a horse which he had desired, they made the price, everything. He put his hand in the pocket, the money was missing. A pickpocket came and stole his money. Now he had no money. Then he realized, so he was returning now without the horse. So as he was returning, the same friend met him, asked him, what happened, you bought your horse? He said, no, inshallah, I was going to buy the horse. Inshallah, I had the money in my pocket. Inshallah, the horses were there. Now the inshallah, what is going to help? So inshallah is very, very important. And if a person doesn't say it, at least in his heart it must be. But a mu'min will use this word. Even if you're speaking to a non-Muslim, don't worry. Then let him ask you, what's that you told? He won't understand. Then explain to him. Give him da'wat now. Call him towards Islam. That whatever happens, happens only by the will of Allah. And we are fully and completely dependent on Allah Ta'ala. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh was in his dying bed. Shaitan came and said, oh Ahmad, you got saved from me. You're out of my clutches. He said, not yet. So his son asked him that Abba, when he came around, he was unconscious. When he came around, Abba, what was this you were saying? Not yet. He wasn't unconscious. It was sakarat, but it was termed unconsciousness. That he was like in a trance, but he was in his sakarat. So he says, Shaitan comes to me and tells me, I've got saved from you. And I tell him, not yet, till my breath doesn't go out without iman. So here also we learn, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, what a great imam. And what a, not even a mountain is not enough to compare it to his iman. That the khalq Qur'an, the masala of khalq Qur'an, and how he had remained firm, how much lashes he had taken, and what he went through, but he did not one bit did he waver also on this matter. How firm he remained, what iman he must have had. It is written with regard to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, that on one occasion, he was at the shore, and a boat was passing nearby. And then one person there sneezed and the sound came across and he said, Alhamdulillah. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal then hired a boat to go and tell him, Yarhamukallah. On that Allah Ta'ala was so, Allah loved it and Allah declared that inform Ahmad that I've made his maghfirat, his jannah. So these people who had that iman, but at the time of his mort, the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who were given the glad tidings of Jannah, but how they feared at the time of their mort also. And we hardly, we got anything. Our iman also, what is the value of our iman? And yet we have got that we are quite alright and we are, and this pride comes in us. And this pride doesn't display itself under normal circumstances. Now, if a person has got sugar, you won't know. When you go for a test, it will show. Or when the effects of it come, you see it blurred or whatever. If you have got high blood, like that, if it's not so much, you won't know. And many people are sitting with a lot of cholesterol, with a lot of arteries clogged, but you don't know about. If you go for a test, you'll come to know. Or some things happen, then you know. So we might be sitting with pride, we don't know. When do we come to know? When something happens. Somebody tells us something. That things didn't go according to our tabiat. We made arrangements in Tizam. People are not cooperating with that. They are doing their own thing. Then at that time see our reaction. Then the test, that is the test now. At that time we come to know that have we got pride or not. Like this, under normal circumstances, we're making more, lot of ibadat also, lot of khidmat also. People are praising us also. What is cooking inside, we don't know. But that will come out when a test will come. And that is the time when a person, it shows whether he has got pride or not inside. So this test come, Allah Ta'ala, so that we can check ourselves. Allah brings those things. Now somebody has done something which you don't like. He told you something. He took your place. What arrangements you make, he doesn't listen to that. He goes against that. And now whether to correct it is one thing. And to take offense and how it affects you. And now your blood starts boiling, etc. That is another thing. Anger is a clear sign of pride in a person. When a person becomes angry, anger also on its time is necessary. When against shaitan, take out our anger. And against nafs, take out our anger. But otherwise, besides that, with the other people, with your house people, with your family people, with the believers, there you shouldn't be having anger. But when a person shows his anger at that time, that is a sign that he has got pride also. And this anger also, our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum Jazahum Allah Khair says, is a very, very shrewd disease. That it only comes out on more weaker people. Those who are more stronger, bigger than you, then they know anger. Like for example, Hadrat says you are fighting with your wife and you are telling her, I'm going to make mincemeat out of you. I'm going to make pulp out of you today. Suddenly somebody knocks on the door. And when you go and check up, you peep, you see it's your two brothers-in-law. And both of them work in the military. And they are here with their uniform and with their guns also. And they have come now. Then suddenly where your anger vanishes now. Not even into thin air, even more abstract than that. That anger is completely gone. And now you go and beg your wife that this was all, just forget all this. This was nothing now. And now you make a good friends with her suddenly. Why? Because you saw two people and a big build also and they with their guns also. Then your anger goes away. Why is this? Because the anger hasn't got a reality also. It is also a dhoka, a thought that comes to a person. And when a person is angry also, what he says, just hold me. Before I hit him, before I do this, hold me. If he really got all that and he can do something, he'll do it. But what is it? It's just a shaitani dhoka. It is a big deception of shaitan. And it stems from pride. Pride is that disease which a person must remedy and he must treat it. Otherwise it will just bring him to complete destruction. It also comes in a hadith sharif that the worst pride is of a poor person. And this not only necessarily poor money, but in any way, a person who has got outwardly something less, a person who hasn't got knowledge, he hasn't got amal, he hasn't got dini attire, he is a poor person, and he has got pride, that is the worst of a person. That what right has he got to have pride? And if we really go and analyze, all of us, we are ignorant. Our alim, he may be the grand mufti of the country, or the world's grand mufti. Or he may be the greatest qari of the time, the greatest hafiz. He can read the Quran backwards, from back to front he can read it. And you can test him in any way whatsoever. But whoever it may be, whoever you are, your knowledge is so zero that when you start the Quran Sharif, the very first what you start, Alif Lam Mim, you don't know its meaning. Whether you're the mufti of the world, you're the qari of the world, you don't know the meaning of Alif Lam Mim. In other words, Allah is telling you that, oh maghroor insan, maghroor alim and mufti, great, proud and very haughty mufti and alim, what knowledge have you got? You're talking of being an allama and mufassir of the Quran, you don't know why what you're starting with, you can't give the meaning. Alif Lam Mim, you don't know the meaning of that. And this was the great wisdom of Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when he said that the recitation of the Quran Sharif, for every letter, 10 sawabs. And he said that, what words he used? Alif Lam Mim. That these words, yeah, that nobody, no matter who you are, you don't know the meaning. All the mufassireen are unanimous. This is huruf muqatta'at. The meaning is known only by Allah Ta'ala. They have given some code meanings, etc. But they also say the actual meaning is only known to Allah Ta'ala. So, where you start with the Quran, you don't know the meaning. What do you know of what is in front? So, what pride have you got? So, everyone is in that category. And then to have pride, whether you're the greatest alim, you're the greatest abid. And what is ibadat? Ibadat is the greatest of ibadat. The greatest of ibadat is namaz. And the greatest in namaz is when you put your head on in sajda. In other words, what you are ascribing to as your pride, your brains, your thoughts, that you yourself put it down on the ground. And actually, the real sajda is on the ground, on sand. No problem, use musalla, we use all our mats and that, but the actual sajda is on the sand. So you are putting your forehead and you are bowing down. You are making ruku and then you're going right down. That is what the reality of it must come. This ruku also must not just be the form of it. The reality that I'm humbling myself in front of Allah. Sajda, that I'm totally, everything of mine I've put aside. It is only when a person starts his namaz, he might be the millionaire, he might be owning the world, the whole world is under his control. And there were such four people, two Muslims, two non-Muslims whom Allah had given the control of the world. Whether you even ruling the world, but when you start your namaz, Allahu Akbar, you throw all that behind you. All that is one side. Oh Allah, it's only you. Now in front of you, I'm a complete complete that I've surrendered to you in totality. Not only my body, my thoughts I've surrendered to you. Nothing of mine will go, what you say. So that reality has to come. And as we had explained, when real tawadu will come, fights will evaporate automatically, whether it is in the house, whether it is in the workplace, but where everyone wants to show his authority, and everyone wants to show that I can't bow down. The wife doesn't want to bow down, the husband doesn't want to bow down, you'll never come to a solution. If you're prepared to bow down, you'll come to a solution. Easily you'll come to a solution. Allah Ta'ala says that if you want Islah, Allah will grant Islah. And Islah will be when you are prepared to bow down. So this is very, very important. As we had explained, when there is an argument, when there is a fight, it's a fire. Now, if the husband is also fire, and the wife is also fire, what's going to happen? Fire on fire. That fire is going to become triple fire, in fact, not only double. What's going to happen? And Allah and Shaitan, this fire, this fighting and this anger is all from Shaitan. And Shaitan is from fire. That's why it is that fire. And you, Ibn Adam, you are from sand. And you have the least right to have fire in you. You haven't got fire. You are made of sand and water. So you be sand. And that fire, we told that some fires, electrical fires, if you go and put water, you'll make it worse. You have to throw sand there, not fire, not water. So you become water, you'll put off that fire. You become sand, you'll put off that fire. So Allah made you of sand, that you are Ibn Adam. You are sand. You are created from turab, from sand, and not only sand, what is called filthy sand. And that they also gave them that filthy sand, which is mud, sand and water mixed, that is even more like dirty and undesired. And from there you came to Ma'i Mahin. Blood also was napak, impure. And from that blood, more napaki, your semen. That is even more najis and najis-a-ayn. And that is even more napak and more impure. From there we created you. What right have you got to be proud? Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. O insan, what put you in this deception with Allah? That you become proud. And the height of this pride is kufr. You even now disbelieve in Allah. That authority also you don't want to accept. And when a person doesn't accept smaller authority, he reaches that stage that he doesn't accept that authority also. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ أَلَّذِي خَلَقَكَ. He is the one who created you. فَسَوَّاكَ. And how balanced he made you. فَعَدَلَكَ. And completely balanced he made you. So what pride have you got with regard to him? humble yourself in front of Allah Ta'ala. If this quality of humbleness comes in a person, he has achieved a great thing. And when this comes, man tawada'a, a person who brought this humility, humbleness, but also a condition, lillah, for Allah's pleasure. If you became humble, that people, oh, he's such a humble person, that is totally rejected. It's not for Allah. And don't expect the fruit of that. When you don't humble yourself for Allah Ta'ala, you humble yourself that the people must say he's a very humble person. And you do things in order to show people that you are so humble. But inside you, you haven't got that humility. So this tawadu also, this lillah, yeah, is extremely important. Man tawada'a lillah. For Allah's sake, a person who humbled himself, Allah, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declares, rafa'ahullah. Allah will make him high. You don't have to become high. The more you humble yourself, the more Allah will make you high. And the more you want to become high, the more Allah will throw you down. Allah will break your back, He'll break your neck. But when you humble yourself for Allah's sake, and any person, the better person is who makes salam, that person has got humbleness. Otherwise, why must I make him salam? He must come and make me salam. The better person is the one who go and ask for maaf. Why must I go and ask for maaf? He must come and ask me for maaf. So, this humility, when it comes into a person, you make salam first. You go and ask for maaf. What could have turned so bad? It could have led to talaq in the house. But you went and asked for maaf. You humbled yourself. Now you're living peacefully. You're living happily with anyone and everyone. Where there is humbleness, it just brings beauty and it brings a shine to that thing. And where there is pride, it destroys, it breaks up everything. So pride is one of the worst killers. And in Roza, Allah teaches us also that you can't eat, you're feeling so weak now, you're feeling so down now. Just this one day you didn't get food, you didn't eat. You hate food, but you didn't eat. What if Allah is to close your food completely? You don't get any food, or Allah makes your system, you can't eat anymore. Or Allah puts you in such a place that where you don't get any food. Well, you have millions at home, but you are in a place where you don't get any food. What is your... So just this one thing Allah closed. Your food Allah closed, and this is what happened to you. So what have you got the right to be proud of? So everything is only with Allah. And it is one the most stupid guna, the pride, and it is a guna kabira, a major guna. Such a guna that a person won't get the fragrance of Jannah. And the fragrance of Jannah goes to a distance of 500 years out of Jannah. You won't even come so near to Jannah. Forget getting Jannah. So this is a month that we should try our utmost. Make dua, make every effort that this pride goes out of us. May Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala grant me also, grant us all the riyad to understand, to have this knowledge also, and then to bring it in reality. The knowledge is not enough. Then the reality of it must come, and a person becomes humble, he will be loved by everyone. Everyone loves a humble person. A proud person is detested, is disliked. And when you haven't got like a poor person, an ignorant person, and he's got pride, it's even worse that he has got pride. So may Allah save us from all these spiritual diseases, physical diseases also. Grant us good health spiritually, physically, in every way. And may Allah keep us. One of the biggest du'as, one Buzurg said, ask Allah that He must give us, He must be pleased with us permanently. In that everything comes. If Allah is happy with a person, everything is in there. To Allah ki raza mandi aur khushnudi ke parwane. The Allah's rits, Allah's guarantees that Ya Allah, beg of Allah that you be happy with me. And that is the biggest thing. Everything comes in there. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with us. May Allah be happy with us. And permanently, all the time, everywhere.